Muslims in Egypt. I think Mubarak is going to have to step down. But it doesn't mean that the wounds are healed. And so the result is that airfares are going way up. Fuel costs are going way up in every case except what? Natural gas. Natural gas is actually going down. Why would propane and gasoline and diesel fuel and oil products, why would all the petroleum go up and natural gas go down? Because we produce in America nationally our own natural gas. And so that's why it is not skyrocketing. And do you think these gas companies aren't packing in billions? You don't think the gasoline, the petroleum companies, BP, for example, are all not part of this intergovernment? They are. They're a main part of it. And they will put the bite on the people until the people stand up and won't stand for it anymore. So what we're seeing, because Egypt is having these problems, and in other parts of the world, Iraq, you've got, and all over Islam, you've got these civil disturbances. This is forcing the price, accelerating the rise in the price of gasoline. All right, well, and so right now it is made Obama and Mrs. Clinton come and make speeches before the American media in the world because reporters, a couple of foreign reporters, have been seized and have been beaten by the pro-government people. Now, interestingly enough, WikiLeaks, now they're the ones that have released millions of secret documents, none that I personally can see have hurt American lives, but they are reports of daily reports of what's happened as all these American units have had years of combat. WikiLeaks has been recommended now for the Nobel Peace Prize. When you consider that Obama was given the Nobel Peace Prize, for what? Well, for what maybe he was going to do. Why not give WikiLeaks the Nobel Peace Prize for letting us know what is being done by the U.S. government in countries like Afghanistan and Iraq? 1,472 dead now in Afghanistan. That's much higher than before. 4,436 in Iraq. The total, when I talk to you, every day it goes up. Now today, 5,908 Americans. It's time for us to stand up and come home and guard our own borders. By the way, the federal debt right now, $14,107 billion. The ceiling is $14.3 billion. So we're rapidly arriving at a dilemma. All right, good guys, you have a good day coming up tomorrow. We have a good weekend, and I'll see you tomorrow. Then we'll talk a little bit more, and I'll give you some other information, like on the book and ammunition, etc. So come armed tomorrow with something to write with.
When the Green Beret trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. By night and day, courage taken from the Green Beret.
have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Things in this world are more important than clean, pure water. Understanding this, ABR makes four tabletop water distillers available to you for purchase. First, we have the 5.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $139. The second is a 5.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $189. The third is a 3.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $189. And our premier tabletop distiller is a 3.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $250. All our distillers have a stainless steel boiling pot, dome, and cooling tubes. And the premier version also has a splash flap to protect against contamination of the cooling tubes. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com for more information and protect your water supply.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 12th. 2015. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need any help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620 878 4682. You can always find updates of the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. And also, when you're over there at prophecyhour.com, you can find all aspects of our ministry, but you can also find links to our YouTube page, which, surprisingly, it has the audios of these programs, but it really does good and well, and so you can find us at YouTube, the link, anyway, over there. Anyway, let's go on with a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Before I do that, I want to apologize for not having a new program last week. As you can probably tell from my voice, I caught the flu or a cold or something from the mission church that we work at, and so I lost my voice. And tonight, it's getting close. I didn't know it was that bad. But anyway, we'll make it through the program. But again, I apologize for not being here last week, but I had a cold that was beyond my control. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest's will, but your will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, recently I went and saw the movie American Sniper with my wife. Like many in America, I was really greatly moved by it. So when an email came from a publicist for tonight's guest, the author of the book, that is, the name of the book is, well, it's a companion story to American Sniper. The biggest film in America has become a companion story that you must know. American Sniper, of course, follows the life of Navy SEAL Chris Kyle, the most deadly sniper in American history, and his Navy SEAL team, Three Brothers. The movie made history of its own by becoming the biggest grossing film debut in the month of January ever, ranking in over $107 million in its opening weekend. The movie version of America's Sniper was adapted from Kyle's New York Times number one bestseller, which was dedicated to Kyle's Navy SEAL teammate and close friend, Ryan Biggles Job. Central character in both the film and book. Anyway, Hollywood actor Jake Dorman portrayed Ryan Job, or Job, rather. The real-life Ryan lived, tragically died in Scottsdale, Arizona. Tonight, we hear from Ryan Job. We hear about Ryan from Robert Vera, who was also friendly with Chris Kyle, and says that the runaway success of the film, America's Sniper, and seeing his friends portrayed on the silver screen has taken him by surprise. The movie was a little eerie for me, he says. It was like seeing a ghost because Jake McDormand actually looked and sounded a lot like Ryan. Vera gave the eulogy at Ryan's funeral in Scottsdale that was attended by several hundred Navy SEALs from around the globe. He was also in attendance at Kyle's funeral service in Texas in 2013. Well, let's now welcome Robert. Are you there with us, Robert?
Thank you, Pastor. I'm really honored to be here. Appreciate you having me.
Well, like I said, you know, I went and seen the movie, and then just right after I saw the movie, I'm on a publicist list, of course, many of them, and they sent me the plug for this program, and I just couldn't turn it down from my own curiosity. And, you know, what these two stories of both of these brothers in arms is a story that America needs to know. Not only is it a story of faith, but a story of understanding. You know, when we heard all the bad rhetoric come out about, you know, I'll say little people downing the American Sniper and even calling him a warmonger, they hadn't seen the movie and they don't understand.
Yeah, correct. I mean, they didn't see the movie, and even if they did, I don't think they would get the real message of the movie. So, I mean, and look, I know you've lost your voice, so let me bring people up to speed on exactly, you know, about the movie, who Ryan Job is, and how it's related to Chris Kyle. I think you've done a wonderful introduction, but let me sort of fill in some of the blanks that may be there. Ryan Job was a member of SEAL Team 3. He and Chris Kyle served in Ramadi, Iraq, along with their SEAL team colleagues, in April through August of 2006. It was perhaps the most contentious time of the war. Ramadi had been all but lost, and SEAL Team 3 was sent there with their fellow comrades in arms in the Army, Air Force, Marines, to retake the city. So it was the most contested time of the war and the most contested place. Ramadi is in, of course, El Anbar province, part of the Sunni Triangle, and a gateway for insurgents to come through and come into Iraq and fight either in Iraq, Ramadi, or in other Sunni-held territories. So that was the sort of scenario that Ryan came into. He arrived there in April of 2006, and on August 2nd, 2006, he and Chris Kyle were on a rooftop in South Central Ramadi covering their SEAL team below, who was doing a clearing mission. And it was early morning. Ryan was facing east. Chris was facing west. And Ryan Job was shot in the face by a sniper. He lost his eye. He was on the ground. I mean, obviously, they thought he was dead. His SEAL team thought he was dead. Chris Kyle was there. He went to Ryan, and he called out to his SEAL team. They're okay below. He went to Ryan, didn't know what happened, turned Ryan over and saw that, there was an egregious wound. I mean, he literally, Ryan was convulsing, and Chris thought Ryan was dead. He called for a SEAL team below. They came up, surrounded Ryan, and went to work on him. Mark Lee, one of the other Navy SEALs who Chris Kyle dedicates his book to, was killed chasing the enemy that shot Ryan on that day. I asked Chris Kyle about that. I just want to sort of tell this quick story. I asked Chris Kyle about that day. We had a conversation. I just wanted to ask him a couple things. This is after Ryan passed from this world, but I asked Chris about that day. Ryan was obviously shot by a sniper. Chris was a sniper. And I asked him, like, were you scared, going to Ryan? The sniper was still out there. Obviously, he made a headshot from, a fairly long distance, which is, speaks to the sniper's training. And Chris said, I was terrified. I was terrified that I knew I was going to get shot. But I'd be useless if I got myself shot over on the other side of the roof. So if I was going to die, it'd be helping Ryan. And Chris got up from his position, went to Ryan, turned him over, called his SEAL team. So that's, now, the movie version, because it's Hollywood, they had to condense time. And so they have Ryan being shot and then dying several days later in a hospital. That Ryan was shot on August 2nd, 2006. He lived, he survived the wound, and he passed from this world on September 24th, 2009. So 3 years after being wounded, Ryan died. So that's the difference between the movie version and in real life.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this for the people. I know a lot of, probably a lot of my guests, or not guests, but a lot of my audience has seen the movie. So what happened during that time span? I mean, 3 years later, I know, but for the people, because I got the book, for the people, why did he die 3 years later? What happened?
Let me tell you a little bit about Ryan for a question, if you will. He was just an amazing, absolutely amazing guy. I mean, one of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life. Ryan's totally blind. He lost his eye. The swelling of the optic nerve and the optic tract cut off the blood flow, and he was completely blind. The person I met, Ryan Job, he told us, happened on the roof. He showed us his eye with his prosthetic eye with a Navy SEAL tied and fashioned into the pupil. And then he said, hey, I've heard you've done a couple of Ironman triathlons. I'd love to do one of those. And by the way, I've got an opportunity to find out right here. Do you want to train with me? Right? And he wants to do an Ironman triathlon?
Really?
And he's going to climb Mount Rainier? Yeah, all right, let's do this, So Ryan and I became instant friends. In fact, we stayed friends. I gave the eulogy at his funeral, and we were friends until the day he passed. So what happened to Ryan was he accomplished so much in a short period of time, and we'll talk a little bit about what he accomplished, but he went in for one of the surgeries to repair a wound, the wound that he got in war, one of many surgeries that he endured. And he went in September. He was in recovery from not just one, but two vascular surgeries, and the hospital overdosed him and killed him.
Really? Yeah, the movie doesn't...
I mean, it's absolutely tragic of how so many people risked their lives to save Ryan Job. Mark Lee died going after the enemy that shot Ryan Job. So doctors, helicopter pilots, everybody risked their lives to save him, and he was tragically overdosed in a hospital in Arizona. So anyway, that's how he passed from this world.
Okay, well, let's back up. Wait a minute. Let's back up for the people. Okay, wait a minute. I just had a question come in. We'll answer this first. Somebody wants to know, was this at a VA hospital?
No, it was at Maricopa County Medical Center in Phoenix, Arizona. It was a county hospital, not a VA facility.
Okay. All right, having said that, let's back up, because we got plenty of time, brother. Let's back up, and even though, you know, a lot of people don't want to give all the contents of their book out, but this, you know, we, believe me, I'm experienced at this. They'll buy the book after we do this talk. Point is let's back up and talk about who Ryan really was, you know, basically starting from the first of the book. He had quite a character. He lived his life. He lived his dream, as you put it. Explain that, living his dream.
Yeah, Ryan Jope was one of those people that he just lived all in. And, you know, he was at a young age, he decided he wanted to be a pilot, so he went and got a pilot's license at 16 years old. I mean, his dream was to be, his grandfather was a pilot in World War II. He wanted to follow in his footsteps. He always wanted to be a Navy SEAL. So he enlisted in the Navy, dropped out of college, enlisted into the Navy, and, you know, went through BUTS training, arguably the most arduous training of any, you know, certainly military, but also anywhere. I mean, it's literally more people make it into the NFL every year of the college ranks than become Navy SEALs. Ryan Jope accomplished that, became a Navy SEAL. But he was just that type of guy. You know, if you looked at Ryan Jope, you would not think, wow, this guy he's a Navy SEAL. He's just, you know, and he would never tell you. He would, you know, ask you questions about yourself. He was engaging. He was absolutely one of the funniest people I've ever met. I mean, great sense of humor. He was more interested in what you have achieved and what you were interested in. He was engaging, really intelligent. I mean, one of the saddest things for me was that on the day Ryan passed from this world, he got his diploma in the mail from his undergraduate. He graduated with high honors, a 4.0, perfect grade point average, and he was blind.
Wow.
But, you know, one of the things I just want to bring up is Ryan and I had this conversation, and Pastor, believe me, it's such a pleasure to talk to you amongst fellow Christians. It's just, because I do a lot of interviews in the secular world, and the book is not written like that. It's written for us. But
yeah,
Ryan Jope, the only other Job I know is the Job in the Bible. Who suffers, right? And
right.
Is tested and is transformed by that experience. And I said to Ryan, he says to me, the first day we met, he said, you know, his friends surrounded him. They went to work on him. His medic was holding his hand. His medic was working on him. His lieutenant's holding his hand. They're calling him back. They got surrounded him. I said, Ryan, have you ever read the book of Job? He said, well, I've flipped through it a few times, yeah. And I said, there's a passage in Job 1:10 that says, God so favored Job that he placed a hedge of protection around him. Do you ever read that one? And he said, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? I said, yeah, it does. But there were so many uncanny parallels, you know, if you know the story of Job, to my friend Ryan. And look, he wasn't a Bible thumper at all. But I never heard Ryan. The only two clues he gave me, and he was a Christian, really, because he lived it. I mean, you knew something was different about him. You just didn't know what. But the only two clues he gave me is that one time I asked him to drive, and I said, which type of music you want to listen to? He said, either country or Christian. And, you know, there was another time that he wrote an email, and he sent it to somebody and CC'd me on it, and he said, at the end of the email, he said he was shot and he's blinded. He was blinded forever in this world. And only a believer would, you know, say that. So Ryan wasn't, he's not going to invite you to church. There were no, you know, cross tattoos or anything. Ryan just lived the gospel every day. And, you know, it was just amazing the way he did it. He just went about his business, lived to the fullest. And, you know, one of the things I really loved about Ryan is that when I wrote the book, I sent the manuscript to my editor, and she called me and said, you know, is there a, it seems like he didn't complain or never bemoan the fact that he was blind. I mean, did he ever have any hard days? And I said, you know, he may have, but not when I knew him, but, you know, let me think about it, and I'll let you know. So I thought about it over the weekend, and I called back and said, you know, I have to tell you something. I never heard Ryan Jobe complain once. And as a matter of fact, what he told me about being blind was that he was grateful that he was the one that was shot on the roof, that he was the one that was blinded because he could take it, that he was grateful for all the opportunities that came for him, to him, even though that he was blind. I thought, you know, this is why I love Ryan. I mean, it's just, what a great attitude. And then, you know, I went back and read the book of Job. Job thanks God. You know, shaving heads, you know, mantling, and thanks God for, you know, for, that was Ryan. I mean, he was just, anyway, the parallels were uncanny.
Couple of things. Number one, folks, you should see the, you should go to warriorsfaith.com, which has some great pictures and things. I'm looking at a picture of him on the front of this page, and he's really has I know he's already been wounded. You can tell by looking at his eye, and he's sitting there with a dog, but he's happy. You know what I mean? And this guy don't look like he's down about anything. And so that's truly amazing. And as far as his faith, you know, the word tells us that we are supposed to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It does sound like he does, and he does have faith. Those kind of words that you gave forth about him doesn't come from somebody that doesn't have a relationship. Not everybody's relationship is out there on their sleeve, but he has a relationship. He had a relationship, you can tell. Back to you.
He was going to be an example of God's love. And he was living it. He's not going to tell you it. He's going to show you it by the way he lived his life. And he inspired not only me, but everybody that he met. Other veterans wanted to climb Mount Rainier because this guy did it. You know, the one time he gets in the car, hey, can you give me a ride? I said, sure, you know, he gets in the car. And I say, hey, we had to. I'm going out. I just started laughing. Ryan, you need to see them to shoot them, right? And he's like, no, I got that all sorted out. I said, look, you may not want to tell the other hunters that you're blind. You know how those people got, right? You know, they may be a little, you know, nervous that a blind guy pointing a weapon where he can't see. No, I got that all figured out too. So he said, how do you like your elk? Burgers or chops? He surprised me. 2 days later, he texts me a picture of a 980-pound elk. He melted it with one shot. Completely blind. I mean, Ryan Jobes, he just lived all in. You know, he just had faith. And I love, there's a passage in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. Is that not Ryan Jobe? I mean, sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. That's faith. And he lived it all in. I mean, all in. Not just, I think, look, if you were to ask me, and I'll ask the question for you, what is it that made Ryan different and extraordinary? What made his life extraordinary? Because it was already amazing. I'll tell you what I think it is. Ryan lived his faith without a safety net. He didn't hedge anything. He had two things, faith and hard work. That was it. And because he lived in faith, unabashed, all in, it made his life extraordinary. It was an adventure, and he lived it like that.
Well, he, you know what the real sad thing about is him and Chris both, they neither one of them had to die, so to speak, you know. He dies in a hospital from, you know, surgery 3 years after he came back. I mean, you know, he climbed Mount Rainier and did all these things, and then he dies in a hospital. And then his buddy Chris dies helping others, you know, and that seems to be the underlying context that I don't think that people understand when, you know, if they don't go, they need to see the movie, but they really need to, this book should be a movie about him because it is such a close companion thing. Absolutely. Back to you.
Well, look, I think you make an excellent point. You know, the movie, I've heard critics say that, you know, the movie glorifies war. You didn't watch the movie. I knew Chris Kyle. Chris Kyle, I met Chris Kyle in 2009. We remained friends. I saw him a month before he was murdered. at in Vegas at the SHOT Show. Never once did Chris Kyle tell me he shot anybody. We talked about his family. We talked about my family. He asked me how I was doing. We talked about business. Never once did Chris Kyle say, I'm the most deadly sniper. Never once. But what the movie does is it shows people where the real war is, right here at home. You know, by the government's own statistics, right, we're losing 22 a day to suicide. So the real war, ladies and gentlemen, is right here.
Let me break in. We only got a minute left before commercial time, and we'll come back and we'll have another 20 minutes to talk. And yeah, you're starting to hit to the point. They did sign a suicide bill today for the veterans, which is great. But, you know, anyway, tell them where this website's at.
Yeah, it's www.awarriorsface.com. You'll find images there. Kenny Thomas, another great warrior. He's now a country music star. You may have seen the movie Black Hawk Down. Kenny was a squad leader on Task Force Ranger. Kenny climbed Mount Rainier with Ryan Jobe. He writes the foreword. So if you go there, you can read the foreword. You can see images of Ryan Jobe at www.awarriorswithansfaith.com.
Yeah, folks, and wherever you find this in the radio archives or if you go to our website, there will be a link to this, and, of course, it'll be in various archives after tonight, about 9 o'clock after I get done with my live program. So share this with others, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Things in this world are more important than clean, pure water. Understanding this, AVR makes 4 tabletop water distillers available to you for purchase. First, we have the 5.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $139. The second is a 5.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $189. The third is a 3.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $189. And our premier tabletop distiller is a 3.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $250. All our distillers have a stainless steel boiling pot, dome, and cooling tubes. And the premier version also has a splash flap to protect against contamination of the cooling tubes. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com for more information and protect your water supply.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 2303 1330 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
I think I am. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Walks Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, I'm just going to make this middle part short. Usually this is time when I ask you to pray about our mission church, that we take care of the homeless and poor in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're also talking about all the poor families that come looking for help. Things like they come looking for food, clothing, Bibles, miracle prayers, all these things people come. And yes, tonight's program's about veterans, and we take care of veterans. We have a lot of veterans that come over there that are suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. In fact, we're called by family that are looking for some of these guys because they just don't all have a coping system, and so they'll end up being homeless because they, like this one fellow that I'm looking for right now, well, I have reports of him being alive and was able to report that to his family. And he has separated himself from his wife and his young son because he was in fear that he would do something violent because of his post-traumatic stress. Well, they've called, and they have help for him now. And so we're trying to locate him and get him to make that phone call. So why is our place different? Why would he come to our place instead of going to the agencies? Well, agencies are just that. You go in and you sign your name, and they treat you different than a normal human being. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. People just walk in the door at the Wichita Mission Church. You walk in, it's a relaxed atmosphere. I don't ask your name unless there's a specific reason to. I usually introduce myself to everybody, but we get over a period of time, we have thousands upon thousands of people come through. So, I do find out the stories of people as they want to tell me and as they need help. Otherwise, they come in and they utilize the phone and many other things, clothing, closet, food, first aid, over-the-counter medications when we got it. It's like now I'm able to take cough syrups and things like that because I can afford it and I live in a house. But these people can't. So agencies don't provide, oh, no, we're not giving them over-the-counter medications, or they go to the emergency room and they get maybe a little help there, and then they're sent out with a prescription. Well, they can't afford the prescription, so we give over-counter meds when we can do it. And, you know, folks, the Wichita Mission Church, you know, while we have a small congregation and we minister to a lot of people, these people mostly are all poor people. They can't support like a normal church. You know, you get your 10% and all those things in from people, and it supports what you do. Well, we can't, or we don't try to utilize that from the poor. They help out in other ways, you know, whether it's working in the clothes closet or cleaning the floors and so on and so forth. So the Wichita Mission Church for the last 15 years has been able to exist because people like you make donations. That's how it does it. And that's by faith. We just go ahead and go over there, whether we know we have money or not. We open the doors and we help. And by faith, he provides. Anyway, so pray about it. Pray about supporting so we can help take care of the people that the Father sends us. Anyway, you can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And now we're talking about a book called A Warrior's Faith, Navy SEAL Ryan Biggles' Job, A Life-Changing Firefight and a Belief That Transformed His Life. Are you still with us, Robert?
I am.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, we left off and we were talking about the movie, American Sniper, and really what the movie was about. And what it was about is really it shows that the real war is right here. I mean, Chris Kyle and Ryan Jobe died here at home after the war, fighting the war. Chris Kyle died trying to help a fellow veteran. You know, Ryan Jobe, you know, succumbed to an overdose to repair the wounds of war. And, you know, I understand that the government has signed a suicide bill. Look, I mean, people, come on. I mean, I'm underwhelmed. I'm sorry, but I'm underwhelmed. I mean, this has been, it went from 18 to 22 suicides a day, and now you're signing a bill. And by the way, I don't want the government to do any more. I really don't. If you really think about what the government wants to do, is they want to give, they treat suicide, you know, with a pharmacological approach. Well, let me ask you, what is suicide? Of hopelessness.
Yes.
So what drug can you take to cure hopelessness? Okay. I believe that hopelessness is cured by the right relationships and the right priorities in your life. You know, I think that, you know, having a relationship with your Lord and Savior, I think that's the right relationship. Having a relationship with people who are well-resourced, who are committed, who are faith-based, I think that's the right relationship. So the government, you said it. They're an agency. You know,
yeah.
The agency doesn't want a relationship with you. They want, they're providing a number with a service. And they're not even doing it that well. I'm sorry to say that, but look, they're not doing it that well. But we left off with that, so I just want to come back to that. I also want to tell you about the most powerful part of the movie for me.
Okay, so let me say something about this issue first before we go on. Your app, folks, and I'm addressing the folks out there, folks, and that's absolutely right. You know, just referring somebody to the VA or something, you know, that's like, you know, referring people to a robot that doesn't work very well. It takes human interaction to save people. It takes relationships to change and help people. And like you, it was just stated, of course, most of our audience is Christians. And so it's up to us. We are supposed to minister to those that are less fortunate to us. We're supposed to minister to those that are wounded, and these guys are wounded. And whether whatever war they have been to is right or wrong, these people went with the idea to protect you and this country, which is a hero thing. They're, you know, as I said earlier, there's no greater thing to lay down your life for someone else. They are literally laying down their lives for someone else. And as it portrayed in the movie, it showed about how Chris was so, he had to separate from his wife and his family. You don't understand the sacrifices that these guys give in the idea of giving their life for others. So really, you really need to consider this story. Then I'm going to let Robert go on, but, please, you really need to get this book because it is about faith, and I just pray it makes you understand, and that maybe you'll reach out to the veterans when you see them. Back to you, Ryan, or Robert.
Yeah, thank you. And look, I mean, that's, you know, when you say a ministry, just a relationship. I mean, I just want to tell you a little bit about, you know, how I do it, is that, you know, if you ask that same 22 veterans a day who are allegedly, you know, the 22, I actually think that that's a low number. If you ask them, the 22 veterans a day who are committing suicide, if you had them all in a room and you said, oh, which one of you are feeling desperate or isolated, do you think any of them are going to raise their hand? No.
No.
They're not. But if you say to them, hey, who would like to, you know, come with me? I'm going to go climb a mountain, Mount Rainier. Who would like to go elk hunting with me? Who would like to come up to a, you know, a ranch and we'll go, you know, go fishing and fly fishing? All of them would. So that is a relationship, right? And, you know, there's an organization, Camp Patriot. That's who took Ryan Jobe up to Mount Rainier and out elk hunting. But there's many organizations like that. They build a relationship with wounded veterans, and then they wounded disabled veterans, and then they become a conduit to resources, you know, care. But, hey, Pastor Dan, it's very difficult, you know, for me, or I think anybody, you know, if you can't, you know, say to me, hey, I think you need some help, unless you have a relationship with me, right? Because otherwise, I'm going to think, who is this guy? But
right.
When, you know, so the relationship is the first step, not a pharmacological approach. But nonetheless, I just wanted to follow up on what we talked about in the movie. So I go to the movie, I knew Ryan and Chris. I knew Ryan. The images were powerful on the screen. But what was more powerful for me were not the images on the screen. At the end of the film, and I don't want to ruin it for everybody, I look around. And everybody around me is crying. And for the first time, America, I mean, it's the number one movie, I think, of all time. America knows how it feels to lose a loved one to war. America knows the sting, the disbelief, the pain mixed with pride about your loved one. You know, the unbelievable, this can't be happening. America felt that. And that was the most powerful part of the movie for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me make a comment. I took my wife to see it, and, you know, she's not much on war movies, you know, but, you know, she wanted to see the movie, and we went, and I'm not going to give away the points of the movie, but I'm like you. At the end of the movie, what I didn't see in the folks is at an end of a normal movie, everybody jumps up and rushes and crowds out the door. You know, we got to the end of the movie, and there was just dead silence. You could have heard a pin drop. And, you know, people didn't just jump up and run out. And I know people were in various states of emotion. And I don't think I've ever been to a movie where people reacted in such a manner. And, you know, it's a story. And I think the people would react in the same manner to this book. You know, because it's such an important part of the story. I know Hollywood only had a short period of time, but Ryan's story is really important, and it would be nice to see this made into a movie. Back to you, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, even right now, Pastor Dan, I'll tell you, it's even having this conversation, it's more bitter than sweet for me. You know, Ryan should be here telling his story, right? And, you know, for me, it's hard, right, to tell this and to, I feel so grateful to do it. And I really wanted to show the world how much Ryan meant to me and how much he influenced my faith. And I wanted that to be Ryan's legacy. You know, I wanted to say thank you to him for, you know, bringing me closer to my Savior. And, right. You know, but still, you know, it's just strange for me to be talking about a friend who you wish was, I'd trade everything to just, you know, have him back and have him tell his story. But that's not going to happen. It's just, you know, I don't know whether it gets made into a movie. I mean, you know, I'd hope people would look, I mean, I feel so honored and blessed, and the book is number one in new releases on Amazon. By the way, that's not because of me. That's because of Ryan Jobe. I'd love to take credit for it, that I'm a great author, but that's because of Ryan Jobe. I mean, he was just an amazing guy, and I was blessed to know him. I mean, I feel so privileged to have spent, you know, time with him. I mean, even you, I'm so grateful that you honor Ryan Jobe. He was a great guy, and I think he deserves to be honored for what, you know, he overcame and what he did and how he lived his life. I think he should be honored, and that's why I wanted to write the book.
Well, let me say this about him. You know, there's a principle in the Word that, you know, Yeshua or Jesus, whichever, says that, you know, we are to pick up our cross daily and follow him. And, you know, this Ryan, you know, like you say, he didn't complain. He picked up his disabilities and he went about his business. He was a cheer to others. And, you know, his life is an example of Christian faith. It really is. That's why I say by reading the book, it was very clear to me that this man had a personal relationship, because you can tell by his actions. And that is the best way to show your faith by somebody, is not by preaching at them and all these other things, is by showing them who your God is by your own actions. And he portrayed it very well over and over in the way that he ran or lived his life, brother. That's what he did. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, no one likes to be told what to do. Or no one likes to be told you know, you're not, you know, Christian enough. And I think Christians have a hard time with that. They tend to want to do that. I mean, you come across as holier than thou. And I think that's a turnoff. Ryan never did it. He never did it. Ryan just lived his life as an example. And that was the greatest thing. I mean, before, and I'll give this part of the book away, Ryan, before a couple of weeks before he died, he told his wife that his priorities are his, one, his Lord and Savior, two, her, and lastly, you know, three, his friends and family. So Ryan, you know, obviously he had faith. He was inspired by that faith, and he was determined to live his faith every single day. He wasn't perfect at it, but he tried, and he was aware of it, and he wasn't a hypocrite of it. He didn't tell other people that they should do things. Ryan just lived it. He was full of forgiveness. What more Christian, what is more Christian than forgiveness? By the way, we've all been forgiven. That's why we're Christians, because we've been forgiven. Ryan lived it. And you know what? I think that's one of the hardest things for people to do, to let go and forgive. And then I share with one time, one of my favorite quotes is a Mark Twain quote. And he writes, forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet leaves on the heel that has crushed it. And I said to Ryan, you know, I've been a heel a lot of my life. I'm determined to be the fragrance of a violet. And I thought, you know, Ryan and I just love that quote, right? Because forgiveness is really for me. It's not for them, you know, it's for me. But, I mean, Ryan lived it. He was a great example of a Christian life. In fact, so as I wrote the book, you'll notice there's really two elements of the book that are not, I mean, they're not in the words, in the pages of the book. And there's things that I wanted to put in. I've never even told my publisher this, by the way. The book is divided into three sections. Tested, transformed, and redeemed.
Yeah.
That's how Job's life in the Bible. That's how Job is written. He is tested, he is transformed, and in the end he's redeemed. But that is the true Christian walk. To be tested, to be transformed by that, and to be eventually redeemed, be God's victory in the end. And then the other piece that I put in, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. That's truly amazing that you say that, because I see a lot of Christians stumble around in their faith all their life and they don't understand it. Yes, we are those things, and you know that's incredible. And your book does show that. I got Christians out there listening, of course. You read this book and it'll jump from the pages from you, these things that he just said, because that's how we are in our lives. And we're supposed to be that way. We're transformed by the things that we go through so that it isn't about us here. It's about that in the finale of things, about when he returns and that we'll be with him forever. But we get it by being tested here. We're changed by being put through the fire. And this brother was put through the fire. And it's the attitude. This is what I want you bring out. And you keep bringing out. It's not that we go through the fire. It's the attitude in which we have it when we're going through it and when we come out of it, don't you think?
You just said it. Nail on the head. Right there. Because look, we are all tested every single day. Some of us more than others. We are all, I don't care who's listening out there, me, you, we're all going through a crisis at any given time. But all of us, right? It's how we react to the crises, to the tests in our life, how we react. We can only control that. How we react to those things is what makes us truly, truly exceptional people. True. I thought about this a lot, Pastor, because the word hero is thrown around everywhere. You know, yeah. I mean, just, you know, football players, you know, come out and they're playing football and they're heroes. And wait a minute. So
really?
I've come up with a definition, you know, the hero. And, you know, heroes do something different. They do something greater. Heroes act greater than their past. They're not victims of their past. Heroes act greater than the past. Heroes act greater than their environment, their current circumstances. Ryan Job, he shot in the face. He got up and evacuated himself off the roof, right? He acted greater than his environment. Heroes, lastly, they act greater than the way that they feel. they don't, you know, I know there's people every day, I don't feel like going to work, they get up and do it. Why? To support their family. Chris Kyle, I knew he was terrified. He told me he was terrified on that roof, but he did it, right? He acted greater than the way that he failed. So that trifecta of acting greater than your past, your environment, and the way that you feel, that's heroic. We all have the opportunity to do that. But so few of us do. So few of us say, I'm going to do this, because it's easier to complain and be a victim and blame it on somebody else. Jesus never did that.
Yeah.
He never did that. He never blamed it on anyone else.
Well, sadly, brother, listen, sadly, we're living in an environment now in this United States where the church does need to stand up and start speaking out, because we're living in an environment where we're not teaching our children that they need to be heroes. They need to be, you know, I grew up thinking I needed to be a knight in shining armor, so to speak. I believed that I should do things for the weaker people. I do things for women and so on and so forth, that I should lay down my life for others. That was portrayed in, I'm 59 years old, that was portrayed in the early movies that I watched and the books that I was read and was encouraged to read and the Bible. I was encouraged with those things, but those things seem to be missing from so many of the youth nowadays, and that's why stories like these are important. And you know what I'm saying, brother?
I do. Ryan Jobe, I mean, there are so many people who prefer to be victims, prefer to live their life as victims. I mean, like, what a waste of a life. I mean, why? I mean, you have two options. You can be a victim, or you can just get up and keep going and just say, you know what? We all experience these things. I have not been singled out. It was capricious misfortune that this happened. But guess what? I can move on. And I'm going to use this opportunity, this crucible that I'm going through right now, to better myself and to inspire others. I'm going to overcome this. But so few people want to do that. They would rather say it's someone else's fault or I can't. Ryan Jobe, he would never do that. Never. Ryan Jobe treated blindness like an inconvenience. That's it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big deal to him. Yeah, people would ask me, is your friend really blind? I'm like, yeah, he's not only blind, he's missing one eye. Ryan and I would joke about this, because after he hunted the elk, he's like, yeah, I wonder if there's anyone else who's done that. So I looked it up, and, you know, there was all these sort of blind hunting records, you know. But, you know, Ryan's like, look, you know, I'm blind. I mean, you know, I'm not visually impaired or colorblind. All these other people are, like, visually impaired or colorblind. They can see shapes and, you know, shadows, whatever. The only time I ever saw anything is I walked into a low-hanging branch. I saw stars the other day. That was it. You know, he didn't see anything. He's like, you know, but Ryan just accomplished amazing things because he would not be a victim, because he used what happened to him as the crucible to better himself. And people were just amazed by it. I was amazed by it.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what is missing. Everybody wants somebody to help them. Everybody wants to, not everybody, but people want to be, you know, I can't because of this, or, I'm injured. He did this to me. She did that to me. And Christians say that too. Jesus never blamed Pontius Pilate. He never blamed anybody.
No.
You know, he just said, hey, here's what we're doing, guys.
Yeah.
We're all in. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely.
He lived all in.
Absolutely. He was all in. He was an overcomer. And that's what we need, is we need people to overcome. You know, you can, a coward dies many deaths, but a brave person dies only but once. Meaning that you let all these things in your life defeat you. You know, you're not going to get very far, and you need to get up and move on. This is where we got to wrap this up. Folks, this is a great book. Why don't you give the name of the book and tell them where they can find it? And by the way, how long has it actually been out?
Actually, well, the name of the book is A Warrior's Faith. It's published by Thomas Nelson, now division of HarperCollins. And you can find out more about the book at Amazon.com. You can purchase it right now, pre-sale at Amazon.com. It actually releases March the 3rd, but it's available for purchase right now at Amazon.com. For more information, you would hit warriorsfaith.com. I'm sure, Pastor, you have it on your website, but you can find out more information there. And, you know, just before I know we have to go, and I want to make sure I get this in, you know, for all the veterans out there, for all the service members who have served this great country, on behalf of myself and my family, I just want to say thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor, a lot of folks don't realize this, and, you know, people take it for granted. And the folks out there who have criticized this movie and criticized my friend Chris Kyle, you know, you and I are having this conversation because of the First Amendment. The First Amendment of the United States Constitution is a piece of paper with words on it. It has no currency whatsoever in places like China, North Korea, ISIS-held territory in the Middle East. The only reason why it has currency is because of the rule of law that's backed up by some young man willing to stand post with a rifle like Chris Kyle and my friend Ryan Jobe. That's why we can do this. And people forget that. They forget that we have it great here in this country. So I just want to say thank you to all of them who allowed me to write this book, allowed me to have this conversation, allowed me to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Thank you very much.
Amen. Well, brother, I'll say goodbye to you. And thanks for writing the book. And, you know, I'm just lucky because I do this. I got the book in advance. And so it's a great book, folks. Get the book. And we'll talk again maybe, brother, someday. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you. God bless you. Thanks for honoring Ryan. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye. Well, folks, it is really an amazing book, and you know, you can justify war or not justify war. That is not the motivation of what I've seen in Chris Kyle, nor have I seen in Ryan Biggles. These are stories of faith, and as you say, they're laying their life down so that you can remain free. You can pick out the rest. Anyway, you must remember there is only one God. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater thing than to lay your life down for your brother or your neighbor or your family. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.